Well, thank you so much for your kindness and your love that you've shown. My heart is filled to overflowing. Pastor Wayne is somebody's preacher. I'm telling you, that's what we say in the Carolinas. He's somebody's preacher. You guys on warning, we'll take him on to North Carolina, and we'll find a place for him down there that somebody will, they'll take him right in and won't miss a beat. But he's been an awesome man of God. I consider him a friend. I consider this church family. And I love my musician over here. She's done a great job today along with this choir. Give him a hand clap. Awesome choir. Amen. I don't know why you guys haven't made an album or something by now. They got one? I need a copy to take back with me so I can play it at work and let them hear what's going on in Georgia. Amen. I got Ray Charles out of Georgia, but I need something else out of Georgia. Amen. They taught us in preacher school, they said, be prepared, be brief, and be seated. They call it the B rule. So we'll follow the B rule tonight. We won't keep you long. Amen. It's always good on Sunday night to go home and eat some ice cream and apple pie. Amen. And popcorn and Sprite, whatever your go-to thing is, and get ready to do it again tomorrow. But God has been good. I can see his hand at work in this church. I can see him, the Lord, doing a mighty work. Everybody say mighty work. And that's a great testimony to the prayers of God's people that somebody in this church is praying. When people stop praying in the church, the windows of heaven kind of close up. The heavens become brassy. And people's prayers begin to bounce off the ceiling because there's not enough spiritual force to break through the way God desires us to. I want to speak for a few minutes tonight from Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 3. And we want to speak about promise for the thirsty. In other words, if you're thirsty in your spiritual life, God gives us a promise. He says in verse number 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." I like this verse. It encourages me when my life is going through dry seasons. Everybody say dry seasons. Maybe you've never been through one, but a dry season is when you are spiritually dehydrated. It's when you are spiritually running on empty. You're running, you're moving, you're going through all the right motions. You are at all the church services and all of the meetings, but you are dry, spiritually dry on the inside. When you are depleted and you need to be replenished, you need to be refilled, you need to be refreshed with the water of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know something, that the Southern Baptists are in the place for a mighty revival. I might as well say it and say what I'm led to say by the Spirit. The Southern Baptists are in the place for a mighty revival. This church is in the place, and the revival is already going on, and you may be like Rip Van Winkle sleeping through the revival. But it's a revival going on in Morningside. Even it's been going on for months and months, and it's gaining momentum. You ought to be able to sense something in the atmosphere. Am I talking to the right group? And the time of dryness is something that God wants replaced with the reign of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says, "I will." That's one thing I love about it. He makes this promise to Israel. He says, "I will." And whenever God says, "I will," he's letting you know that's his will. "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will come again. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will not forsake you and leave you as an orphan." He's saying, I will. That's his will. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. In other words, we got a lot of dry Christians in the body of Christ. They've been saved, and I know they're saved. They love Jesus, but they're just as dry as Texas dust. I should have said Arizona or New Mexico, but I just thought Texas sounded right up in there. They're just as dry as they want to be, and God doesn't want us to be dry. He desires for us to get more acquainted with our relationship with the Holy Spirit so that we receive everything that he has provided for us. Bible says two things. It says in the last days, in the book of Timothy, perilous times shall come. It says men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of evil. They'll be disobedient to parents, unthankful, ungrateful, unholy. That's a bad time. But the same Bible says that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Is it in your Bible? So we got two things going on at the same time. You got the work of the devil and you got the work of God all going on at the same time. I don't want to sleep while God is pouring out his spirit because I need all I can get. I need him to empower me for service. He says, I will pour out my spirit. He's talking about this same water upon him that is thirsty. He says it in the book of Joel, and he says it in the book of Acts. Let's just see what he says. Acts chapter 2. Peter says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon how much flesh? All flesh. Then it says, your sons and your daughters. Let's just break this down. He says, I'm going to pour it out upon your sons, which means young men. The same young men that people call whippersnappers. The same young men that they call Johnny come latelys. The same young men that they say he's green behind the ears. God is saying, I'm going to find some young men that are not at the club, not at the game, but they're in my presence seeking me for the harvest and seeking me for souls to be saved. And I'm going to anoint and raise up these young men that people say they're just whippersnappers. Young men. Then he says, I'm going to give old men dreams. In other words, what's the difference between a vision and a dream? A vision is what the old man was supposed to do when he was a young man. But he still got the dream. I believe Colonel Sanders was 60-something years old when he said, I got some flour. I got some grease, and I got these good old chickens from Kentucky, and I'm going to call them Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he went to 1,000 banks asking them to give him a loan, 1,000, because he had a dream as an old man. And guess what? Even if he went to 1,000, it doesn't take but one, and he got the one. And I'm telling you, I seen a Kentucky Fried Chicken around here somewhere when I was riding into town, all over the country, because he had a dream as an old man. Ray Kroc was 50-something years old when he started McDonald's. Not saying that he was a spiritual man, but God will give dream to men who are willing to dare to dream. God says in the last days, the old men are going to dream dreams. They're going to have divine visitation from God in their thoughts and in their dreams that come from heaven that will impact the earth. Am I talking to the right group? Don't leave me in the building and try to go home and get that ice cream and apple pie yet. He says they're going to dream dreams. Then he says, women, handmaids, I believe it says. In other words, God is pouring out his spirit. You go to Africa, you go to South America. We had the South Korean prayer team come to Billy Graham a few months ago. And they came on a mission from South Korea to pray for revival in America. We had them praying in morning devotion. They prayed. I'm talking about they prayed the house until you could see steam coming on the windows. I mean, they was going with it. And they went to all these churches throughout the country praying for revival. They show this beautiful film. And they show a map of America, and they show icebergs over the body of Christ. And they are saying that the country that came and brought the gospel to them needs some help, and they're coming on a divine rescue mission to bring intercessory prayer and for a move of God's Spirit in America in the body of Christ. You ought to give the Lord a hand clap to somebody that's thinking about us. They came to pray for revival in America, that we would experience an outpouring. We are in a dry place. It's a dry time among too many Christians, and God does not want your life dry. One of my favorite episodes of The Twilight Zone, I'm not so spiritual that I don't watch TV. I watch TV. And one of my favorite episodes is about a gunslinger named Remy. Remy was a lawman, one of the fastest gunslingers in the territory. And one day he got in a gunfight and he shot a young boy. And in this episode, he lost his nerve and he lost his courage. And as a result, he became a drunk. And this famous gunslinger lawman is now the town drunk, and all of the cowboys in town make him sing the drunk man song. In order for him to get a drink, he has to sing the drunkard song, and they kind of bully him and pick with him until he sings a song. And the song he sings is, "How dry I am. How dry I am. Nobody knows how dry I am." Boy, I couldn't make the choir, but I'm doing my best. What's his name? David. Don't hold that against me. I was just trying to explain the song, the story. And they make him sing the drunk man's song. And they mocked him. And that's what the devil is doing to a lot of believers. He's mocking them because they're so dry. One day a traveling salesman comes to town with a wagon. And he tells Remy, he says, "Remy, I have the solution to your problem." He said, "If you drink this potion, you'll become as fast as you ever been with your gun." Remy is a drunk. He's desperate. He's thirsty. He's humiliated. He's embarrassed. He's tired of being the laughingstock of the town. He takes the little bottle and he drinks it. And all of a sudden, he's fast as lightning. He's the fastest gun in town. We don't have a little potion in a bottle that you can drink and become super saint overnight. But what we have is the promises of God. And God says, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty." He makes a promise that "I will pour water upon the believer that's dry, dehydrated, depleted, running on empty, doing all they can but not gaining ground, not making impact, not bearing fruit. I will pour water on his dryness." Am I talking to the right group tonight? And he's talking to people in this church that you need to get a hunger and a thirst for God again. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, he said, "He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled." Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? be filled with the Spirit. In other words, God needs us equipped, empowered, endued with His Spirit for the battles that we have to fight in this nation, in this country, in our personal lives, in our communities. It takes a spiritual army to deal with these demons that are running around acting crazy through people. Am I talking to the right group? You can vote until you're tired, but until some spiritual people rise up in the power of God and take authority, these demons will keep making mockery of everything that they can. God is waiting on you. I said, God is waiting on you. When I was little, they used to sing the song, I come to the garden alone. I'm not waiting on the group to come. I'm not waiting on my wife to come. I'm not waiting on my team to come. I'm not waiting on the choir members to come. I come to the garden alone. In other words, Lord, I'm serious about this thing. Lord, I'm tired of being the way I have been, and I want you to change me in your presence. I want the rain of heaven to fall on my soul. I want my altar not to be broken down and desecrated. I want the fire and the rain of God to fall on me. They told us that the great evangelist, Gypsy Smith, who was greatly used of God as an evangelist many years ago, going on to heaven, they said when he'd come to a city to do a revival, he'd park his Model T on the side of the road. He'd get out of his car. He'd take a stick on the outskirts of town, and he would draw a circle around it. And they said that that great evangelist would get on his knees and say, Lord, send a revival to the man, to the one in this circle. He didn't say send a revival to the church I'm going to, or send a revival in this town, or send a revival in my denomination. But Lord, send a revival to the one that's in this circle. And that's where you got to get with God to go from being dry to an outpouring. I'm coming to the garden alone. If you don't want to go with me, I'm going by myself. I need to get with Jesus. I need His touch. I need His power. I need His anointing. I'm tired of being defeated and falling down and being ashamed and failing in life. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be in my life. Are y'all still in the room? They said it was a young boy. This group of young men were in a race in middle school. And all of them were excited about this race. All of them got on the line, waiting for the gun to sound to take off on this race. And they had two things in mind, Pastor Wayne. Number one, they wanted to come in first place. Must have been Georgia Bulldogs. And number two, they wanted to make their father proud. Want to come in first place. I want to make my father proud. The gun sounds. This one boy, he was really intent to make his dad proud and to come in number one. They take off and he's leading the pack, running as hard as he could run. He gets down the track. And there's an unexpected dip in the track, and he loses his footing and he falls. And when he falls down, Brother David, all he can see while he's down in the dirt on the track is the faces of shame and embarrassment. But the story says, but when he looked up in the stands, he saw the face of his father motioning him, son, get back up and win your race. When he saw his daddy's face, that gave him the courage to get back up and say, I'm going to try to run fast as I can and catch back up. And that's what he did. He got up. He said, I'm determined to try to catch back up with this group that has left me behind. He begins to run a little bit faster, and he's exerting himself so fast that he tangles up his shoes. He must have been from Martha's Vineyard, because in Georgia, South Carolina, and Louisiana, we run for the finish line. And he falls down again. And when he's down the second time, he's looking at the dirt. And he's seeing all of these faces. He sees the faces of discouragement and disappointment, shame and embarrassment. Not discouragement and disappointment. But when he looked up in the stands, he still saw. Am I talking to the right group tonight? He saw the face of his father still motioning him. Son, I need you to get back up and win your race. That gave him enough motivation to get back up and try it again. He's way behind now. He may never come in first. He may never come in second. He may never win third. And while he's running as fast as he can, exerting himself until he falls down a third time. Are y'all still in the room? And this time he's looking at the dust, tears in his eyes. He sees the faces of failure and frustration. Failure and frustration. Shame and embarrassment. Discouragement and disappointment. Has anybody ever been there? I said, has anybody ever been there? Anybody on the left side ever been there? Anybody on the right ever been there? And he's looking down at this failure and frustration. Hearing voices telling him, you might as well quit. You might as well get up and walk off the field and go on back home. But he had enough sense to look up one more time in the stands. And he looked at the face of his father in the crowd. Daddy was still motioning him. Son, get back up and win your race. That gave him the strength to get back up. Win, lose, or draw. And he made it across the finish line. Ladies and gentlemen, the only one that was there was his daddy. Arms stretched out. Son was ready to tell him, Daddy, I'm sorry that I didn't do too well today. But before he could say a thing, his daddy said, Son, I'm so proud of you. Because in my book, you ran better than them all, because you learned the lesson to get back up whenever you fall. That's what we got to do in this Christian race. You go through dry seasons. You go through seasons when you're dehydrated, when you are depleted spiritually, and sometimes you feel embarrassed, sometimes you feel discouraged, or sometimes you feel like a failure. Anybody ever been there? But you got to look at the Father. You don't look at the pastor. You don't look at the deacons. You don't look at the elders. You don't look at the choir members. You look at the Father. And he's still standing up in the stands saying, Son, daughter, get back up and win your race. And that's what we want to do in our lives. We want to get back up. Let God pour out this water upon the thirsty. And this flood upon the dry ground, and cause us to be able to be filled to overflowing for the purpose of world evangelism, for the purpose of this harvest, for the purpose of demonstrating the works that he designed that we should do in our lives to bear fruit before Jesus comes. Jesus is coming. Not coming for a white church or a black church or a Hispanic church. One church. I said one church. And he's coming in the twinkling of an eye. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. I plan to be caught up. I want to be light on my feet. I want to get better. I want to do all I can while I can with what I have to be the best I can for Jesus. And I don't need to be dry. I don't need to make no apologies. I don't need to make no excuses. I need to walk in the power and the grace of God while I'm in this body like the men and women of old. Are you still in the room? Bible says, let us earnestly do what? Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In other words, these old warriors of the cross, they put us to shame. I said they put us to shame. But we don't want to just base it on the shame. We want to look at our Father and receive His encouragement telling us to get up and keep running your race. Pastor Wayne is coming. Lead us in a closing prayer. Say amen for him as he comes.